So I think this is actually a great segue. I think this is probably the proper order. I'm glad Jamie went just ahead of me, because I think she really set the stage for a couple things that I'm going to talk about. So I have no conflicts of interest. My affiliations are the Beach Chicago Center, the University of Illinois, the University of Illinois Hospital Health Sciences System, and the Jesse Brown VA. So two things I'm going to talk about. I'm going to review a little bit of about certain programs that are currently out there, and also a very brief review of the literature about what is in play for COPD, specifically programs that focus on reduction of avoidable hospital readmissions. And then we'll look at the rolled clinic, and we'll let you guess what the rolled clinic stands for until we get there. So this is a nice little graphic representation of everything that goes on in a discharge process. So you have the health system, you have patients being discharged. A lot of health systems are lucky enough to have discharge planners. You have the patients that are receiving, in some cases, post-discharge telephone calls. You have the physicians that are coordinating the discharge process. But you you also have some things that don't go so well in the discharge process. And one of those, so obviously, if patients don't have they're in the hospital for 2 weeks, a lot of times they don't pay their phone bill and their phone gets disconnected, so they don't receive that post-discharge telephone call from the discharge planners or from the nurse, and that doesn't happen. A lot of times, you know, residents, fellows, NPs, we're all guilty of finishing up our notes after the patient leaves the hospital, and maybe we make an appointment for the patient, but nobody communicates that to the patient, and so they don't show up at their appointment because nobody told them about it. So there's a lot of things that go wrong in this discharge process. And you know, the title of the slide is the orchestrating transitions of care, and I think sometimes we need to stop and think about what is a transition of care? What does that mean? We hear it a lot, but the transition is really talking about any time a patient moves in between healthcare practitioners and settings. And this, we think a lot about, you know, people moving from specialty clinic to another specialty clinic. In this case, we're talking about patients moving from the hospital, transitioning home, and really, if we're being truthful, a lot of times they're not transitioned home, they're discharged home, and that transition doesn't happen. So what are the programs that are out there? And this is obviously not a comprehensive list. I've picked a couple of programs that we know about. Project RED, Reengineered Discharge. This is based at Boston University. Project BOOST was started by the Society of Hospital Medicine and stands for Better Outcomes for Older Adults Through Safe Transitions. And this is actually a toolkit that they developed back in 2008 and then provided a new toolkit in 2014 for health systems to focus on patients with a variety of conditions, not just COPD. The transitional care model is based at Penn State University School of Nursing, and this focuses on using advanced practice care nurses to pave the way or to help patients transition, and focuses specifically on Medicare beneficiaries. And then the Care Transitions Program is led by Eric Coleman, and this focuses on having a transitions coach who works with the patient and their care provider for 4 weeks, and they do a home visit and also includes 3 telephone calls. And the issue with these programs, they're great and they're focusing on a big picture readmissions, but they're not specific to COPD needs. So they don't focus on supplemental oxygen therapy and the complexities that surround this. They don't focus on specific inhaler technique and how important that is for patients to be adequately medicated. They don't focus on COPD specific education, and they don't focus on action plans or warning signs specific to COPD patients and when they should call their physician. So a brief literature review. This is from Dr. Valentin Prieto-Sundarian, who did a systematic review of what types of interventions are out there, are being studied to reduce avoidable hospital readmissions. He reviewed over 800 articles and found 5 studies that qualified based on his criteria. You can see there's one in the United States, one in Canada, one in the UK. CASIS was Belgium and Spain, and then one in China. So of these, they focused on the outcomes. So you can see across the top, all-cause rehospitalizations, you see two, Burbeau and Cassis, that actually had statistically significant decrease in hospital readmissions, all-cause hospital rehospitalizations. The other arrows are grayed out if it was not a statistically significant finding. And then the second line, so the all-cause mortality, you can see that none of the trials had a statistically significant decrease in all-cause mortality, but one, the one that was done here in the United States, actually did have a statistically significant increase in all-cause mortality and was actually stopped prematurely because of this. So we're going to look at the heterogeneity of the of all of these five studies and why this is difficult and why there isn't a lot of evidence that shows us what we should do, even though there is a call to action about what we should be doing. We just don't quite know how to get there. So the intervention context, so with these studies, the timing and frequency of the interventions were varied. Some started immediately post-discharge, some started while the patient was still in the hospital, and some started 3 weeks after they were discharged. The outcome measurement, so self-report versus review of medical records. So some studies collected outcomes using calls to the patient, so self-reported outcome measures, and some used a review of medical records. And obviously we can imagine the limitations there. You're assessing your own hospital if the patient was readmitted to your own hospital, but not the hospital down the street. And outcome reporting, so the percentage of hospitalized versus hospitalization rate. So studies use different outcome measures, and this is kind of like comparing apples to oranges, so it's not easy to compare across the studies. And then inconsistent reporting of patient characteristics, so socioeconomic status and other comorbid conditions that really paint the picture of the complexity level of these patients. So if we're going back, the overall message is that there's not a clear bundle of interventions that we know about that is giving us the right evidence to really implement anything right now that is truly data driven. So we're going to talk a little bit about the ROLD clinic, and this is as we named it, Recovering Obstructive Lung Disease Clinic, indicating that it is focused on patients who are recently discharged from the hospital following an acute exacerbation of COPD. This clinic was started in 2012. As you can see on the left side of your screen, we have a variety of clinicians involved. We have pulmonary attendings, palliative care attending, registered nurse. We actually have two pulmonary fellows, an advanced practice nurse, and collaborators. We collaborate with the VA administration, inpatient discharge teams. This includes hospitalists, the nurse managers, the ward clerks who do a lot of the scheduling, social work, pharmacy, respiratory therapy, and smoking cessation clinic that is run by pharmacists. So the ROLD clinic began with an initiative that was started at the Jesse Brown VA to reduce readmissions and heart failure, and then that went pretty well, and so they said, well, what about COPD? So we knew that it was very important to start this not after the patient was discharged, but while the patient was still in the hospital. So it does begin in the hospital and continues through discharge. We do have, what I mean by high-level support is administrative support, so high-level VA administration. We do have a team approach. We've done education with hospitalists. We've actually taught hospitalists how to properly use different inhaler devices. We've met with residents and fellows. We've met with nursing and done the same thing. So really kind of showed people that there's a lot of complexity that these patients are dealing with their different inhaler devices. We've met with the ward clerks, pharmacy, social work, all of whole list of people. So obviously some of these focus on inpatient and some of these we continue on in the outpatient. So what this really here, what should be here is actually, should say patient in the ROLD clinic and how they're connected to different services from the clinic. So it truly is an interdisciplinary care coordination clinic, and so much of what we do is actually not medical care here, but it is coordination of care. So it's connecting people with the services that they need. And you can imagine in a pretty urban setting in a veterans hospital, a lot of that is actually social work that we're connecting. And that was a big realization that these patients, you know, that they're, you would think that breathing is their number one concern, because that would certainly be my concern. But if they can, you know, get a few breaths, but they don't know where they're going home to, that's really going to be their number one concern. And so I think it's you know, what we're looking at is taking the patient as a whole and prioritizing what their priority is over what our priorities may be. So connecting them with social work, we actually have a designated social worker that has that time blocked. And so they're ready, they're on call, they'll come down to the clinic and they'll take the patient back up to the social work office and connect them with resources. We're connected with respiratory therapy, so proper staging, proper diagnosis, they'll do full PFTs. Connecting the patient with their specialist, primary care provider, pulmonary rehab, and we'll talk a little bit more about this. Advanced planning, so we do have a palliative care specialist, and that was very important when they don't just do advanced care plan, they actually work with the patient on symptom management and pain management. So in a little more detail, you can see what each of these specialists do. We're actually lucky, we're situated in a clinic where our clinic is in the morning, and a walk-in smoking cessation clinic staffed by pharmacists starts at 1 p.m. So this is a really great transition for patients. Obviously, as Winston was saying, you know, a lot of patients, they're former smokers, a lot of patients are current smokers. It really speaks to the level of difficulty in quitting, the fact that, you know, you're on oxygen and you have oxygen 24 hours and you're still smoking, you've just been discharged from the hospital. So a couple of things that we do in the role clinic. We do, obviously, all of these, I won't read all of them. And we've changed a little bit about our approaches. We can see in the role structure, when it was first started in October of 2012, for almost a year, we had a two-hour visit where we did all of these things listed below. We did a six-minute walk test, we did in-clinic spirometry, we did teach-to-goal inhaler therapy, and as you can imagine, a two-hour visit, these patients were exhausted. The clinicians were exhausted. We were exhausted. We knew that we had to change something. One thought, you know, there's pros and cons to both. One thought is that once you have the patient, you want to do everything with them because you may not get them to come back. But really what we found was that those patients wanted to get away from us. So we restructured Role Clinic in July or August of 2013. And we now have three visits spaced over about a 3 to 4 week period. And we try to get the patients in within a week or two of discharge. And then we continue on about a week apart. So these clinic visits are structured so that they come very frequently, so that we can monitor them after their discharge. And we kind of see ourselves as a tow truck company, you know, taking people from their car and getting them home to where they need to be. So some of the themes that we've seen, I've mentioned a couple of them, but one thing that we've seen in these patients is obviously just the pure complexity. These patients are very sick, as you could see, they have a very high level of multiple chronic conditions. You give them prednisone in the hospital and their heart failure exacerbates. You have the level of disability, which really prevents them from, when they're finally discharged home, they don't have a whole lot of support there. They have a very high level of social isolation in their house, and this contributes to obviously kind of a circular disability. So what we've seen from the Jesse Brown VA, and this is data that they have pulled, and this is not just patients who attended the Rolled Clinic, but patients who, all of their patients, whether or not they attended the Rolled Clinic, was that the data just before their fiscal year 2012, their hospital readmission, 30-day readmission rate was 19%. A year after Roll Clinic was started, it went down to 17%, and then their fiscal year 2014 was 14%. And you know, these rates vary. We're not stuck on these, but it's we're looking like we're going in the right direction, and so we hope to get fiscal year 15 data in the same downward direction. So what are the next steps? So we've thought a lot about the integration with primary care clinic, and if that being in the same space actually matters, if that close proximity, if we can connect somebody with their primary care for their diabetes or for their heart failure or for their other medications that they need close follow-up on. We've also implemented, we actually have a funding for a PCORI funded project that educates people and provides support for people who are on 24-hour oxygen, so proper oxygen use. And then we've also talked about integrating a level of peer-to-peer counseling in clinic, so using people who have graduated from the Rolled Clinic, who have mastered their action plan, and using that veteran peer-to-peer support to really promote adherence to different medications and different therapies, and obviously to reassess and restructure based on interventions that we hear about and that are shown to be effective across the country. So, that's
it. Thank you, Nina. Are there any questions for Nina? Okay, I have one.
Sure.
In terms of care transition, mm-hmm. What are the three top major challenges on the part of you as a provider?
Yeah. So I think it's a great question, and I think it varies, you know, day to day, really. But I think with the care transitions, it's really the level of coordination between specialists, inpatient and outpatient. So inpatient providers, communicating with outpatient providers and community clinics. I think that's one. I think another one is the social aspect. So with transitions of care, having patients come from an inpatient setting where they're given food, they're given their medications, and having them transition to a community that they don't have that support, so they don't have caregivers, they don't have social support, and dealing with that as their number one priority, and knowing that you know their medications, their inhaled corticosteroid is not their number one priority, and then I think that the third one. I'm going to get a little very directed here, but in terms of transitions of care specifically for COPD patients after hospital discharge, really is getting people into pulmonary rehab. And the reason why this is so important is because pulmonary rehab is really one of the four interventions that's been shown to decrease or increase quality of life and decrease mortality in COPD patients. And the fact that it's so difficult to get people into pulmonary rehab is one of, I think, the failings of our transitions of care, specifically with COPD patients. Yeah?
This is really interesting. I'm specifically looking at dropout rate pulmonary rehab, and
yeah.
I'm wondering, are you collecting any data on, with the Pelican, any of the peer-to-peer, have you been doing any pre-post, or is it just kind of ongoing?
Are you talking about in the Pelican program, if patients are attending and dropping out of pulmonary rehab?
Or, I'm just saying that's what I'm interested
okay.
in.
Okay. Yeah, so I think this is great. I'm really glad that I have a member of the Pelican team in the audience. So Vanessa, you want to raise your hand? So Vanessa is our main Pelican coordinator. And so things that we're collecting in the Pelican program, we're collecting oxygen adherence data as much as we can. Obviously that has its own challenges. And then also quality of life measures, specifically using some of the PROMIS measures. And I think that it would, you can connect with Vanessa and she can tell you a lot about it. We don't have preliminary data yet. We stop enrolling patients. So actually this is a good chance. If you do have patients who are on 24-hour oxygen, we do have an information line and we'd be happy to give that to you guys. Our information will be at the COPD Foundation booth. as well. But it's enrollment stops, I believe, in April of this year, and so we're really looking forward to doing some preliminary analyses, but we don't have a lot of information yet.
One more question.
Yeah. That's a great question. We're actually looking into this a lot. I think we've all had this misconception that older patients don't know how to use social media and they don't use Facebook. And what we realize and what we've realized, I guess, in working very closely with the COPD Foundation is that they have a lot of social networks that people do use. So with retention, we're looking into that a lot. Specifically, you know, we've tried to boost our Facebook page. We've tried to, another member of our team started an Instagram account. And so we are looking into it. We haven't specifically studied social media and retention, but I think that you're getting on a hot topic.
All right. Thank you, Naima.